You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
Isn't it good to be in church? 12 p.m. I feel like the 10 a.m. service was good. I feel like it was the band. You guys did good. You did good both services. Chris, especially with the... Chris, I gotta tell you guys something. For the ladies that texted Chris to 25827, I'm sorry to inform you, Chris is no longer single. Don't shoot the messenger. Okay, I'm sorry. There are some other guys around. We can talk, you know, we'll figure out someone else for you. But Chris, so proud of you, man. Love you. Such a great man. You are. You're a legend. Anyway, I just thought I'd get that out there for those ladies that are thinking, Key's guy's not bad. And it's right. He's not bad, but he's now taken. So... yeah. Anyway, let's move on. I know it's a heavy moment for some. But yeah, let's move on. Hey, who's been enjoying the Stars and Stripes series so far? I've been enjoying it. I think it's important, you know, as a church that we preach about what we've been preaching about being an influencer in the world. And it's been too long that Christians have. You know, not all Christians, but, you know, many of us have decided to not step on the field, but more to be in the stands. To sit up in the stands and be in the back row and look down on the earth and look down upon the field and spectate and commentate and critique what's going on the field. Meanwhile, everybody else is on the field, you know, changing the world, influencing their world. But I think it's time... some of the Christians got out of their stand and they leave their hot dog and their beer, or if you're conservative, you know, hot dog and Coke Zero, they leave that behind and they step off their comfortable stand and they go out onto the field and they start being an influence in their world, start being an influence in their job, an influence in their marketplace. You know, Jesus came not to make a point. He came to make a difference. It's so easy in this season, isn't it, in the politics seasons, to go out there and make a point. But Jesus has not called you and I to make a point. He's called us to make a difference. And I know that you're not running for president. I know that they're not here this morning because there'd be a lot more security. None of us may be running for president, but on tomorrow morning, you'll go into your workplace. You might be a teacher. You might be a plumber. You might be a business owner. I don't know what you're doing, but all I know is that when you go into that place tomorrow, don't go in there to make a point. Go in there to make a difference. Go in there to make a change. Go in there to be the light and the salt and the light to this earth in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. I'm excited. I'm pumped to preach to you this afternoon. You go ahead and just grab your seat. Just grab your seat. I've got about 18 points to get through. And... we might be here till the show and the next movie starts playing, which I think is the Blair Witch movie. So we better, you know, one week it's actually true. The movie people, I said to them, hey, is there a movie playing after hours? Because we want to get out early if that's the case. And she's like, yeah, Blair Witch starts at 2:30. And I'm like, okay, we'll be out real quick. So it's funny. Like, literally, people are getting saved here at 1:30. At 2:30, Blair Witch is getting played. But I think that those people were not fearful in Blair Witch because the presence of God was still here from our service. Thank you, Jesus, that we're here. Isn't it good? But hey, hasn't it been an interesting season in our country, has it not? An interesting election season? Anybody? Facebook has become Fight Club for many of us. But many people, I get on Facebook and I'm just like constantly interested and intrigued by just some of the comments going on. You know, I don't know the statistics. I heard the other day some... statistics that someone probably just made up, but I heard that there, like, a lot of people are unfriending each other, and even people that, you know, they grew up together, they were best friends, they went to college together, and they're no longer friends because they disagree on a political thing on Facebook, and now they're no longer friends. It's like people have just gone a little bit crazy, haven't they? And you go on Instagram, and it's like it's just intense, right? We're in an intense time, are we not? Let's just be real. It's a little bit intense. It can be a little bit stressful for some of us. Like yesterday, I went on Instagram and I saw a picture of a latte, and I was relieved. I was relieved. And I liked it. Double tap, like. But it's been a crazy season. And, you know, I've only lived here for almost 6 years, so I can't say that I've been through too many elections, but I have asked probably about a dozen people, is it always like this? And I don't think any of them have said to me, yeah, I think most of them have said, no, it's not usually like this. It's not usually this intense. So it's important for us to recognize as Christians in this time, and this is not the time for us to sit in the stands and not have any voice at all. It's also important not to go out there and antagonize, because to be a leader, to be an influencer, you have to have a voice into somebody's life. And if you antagonize them, you no longer have that voice. You lose that voice. You lose your influence when you antagonize. So go out there and walk that fine line of still having a voice, but not antagonizing people. Amen? Amen. And don't defriend somebody like a kindergartner because they don't agree with what you say or what you think. Let's keep relationship. Let's keep our the people that God has placed in our world. Let's keep them in our world. Amen. Even if we don't see exactly the same way. And let me also encourage you to make sure that you do vote. You know, part of getting out of the stands and being on the field is that you would vote, is that you would not sit back and say, well, I'm not voting for anybody because I don't agree with everything that they say. Let me just encourage you again, go out there and vote. Like we said, you're voting for the lesser of two evils. Even if they're both quite evil in some people's opinions, you've still got to determine which is the lesser of two evils. You still need to go out there and have a voice and have an opinion. You have to. And, you know, don't look at the people. Look at the policies. Don't look at the person. Look at what they stand for. Look at the policies that they believe in. Which directions they want to take our country. What things they want to take away. What things they want to add. Vote for them through that perspective. Just let me encourage you in that. As a young man who's 31, let me just encourage you in that. Amen. Last week, Tony Rivera, who I think is serving in Kids Church, is he not? Probably is. He's such a legend. Did an amazing job preaching a message called United We Stand. How good was that? Who was here last week to hear Tony preach that? If you weren't here, definitely podcast. It was such a good message. And I thought it'd be appropriate today to kind of continue, you know, along that tangent, along that thought line. And so the title of my message this afternoon is One Church Under God. One Church Under God. Let me just pray, and then we're gonna start this off. God, I thank you for this afternoon, Lord, the 12 p.m. service. God, I thank you that we are the most excited service. We're the most passionate service. And I just thank you that over the next few minutes, God, as I preach, they're not my words being said, but your words being said through me. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone said, amen. 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 When I look to our future as a church, as a campus, I see our church being unified. I see our church being under God. You know, one nation under God is such a great part of the fabric of what America is built on. We're one nation, we're under God. And I think it'd be appropriate for our church to carry that same culture. We're one church under God. I believe that's what our community and what our city needs and what God wants to create in our church. And I love the fact that we really are one church. We really are. Like, I feel like we're a church family, but I also know that as we continue to get bigger and bigger and more people come, it'll be harder to remain that way. It'll be harder to be unified when there's twice as many people, three times as many people in the room. So I wanted to set the precedence today that we are one church and we're under God. Amen. But a unified church is a powerful church. Did you know that? The devil is terrified of unity, because where there's unity, there's a blessing. And the Bible says that where one can put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. So two people are much more of a concern to the devil than one. The only way you can take two down to one is through division. The enemy loves to divide, to cause division. But God loves to multiply. He loves to grow. The devil wants to divide you, wants to divide your household, wants to divide your mind, wants to divide everything in your world. It wants to cause it to be broken and not whole. But God wants to bring people together and things together. And I know that as a church who's unified, we're a threat to the enemy, and we're actually going to be salt and light to our city. Amen. So a unified church is a powerful church. And a unified church really is a church that, in my opinion, loves each other, covers for each other, takes care of one another. When one of us is hurting, we're all hurting. When one of us is celebrating, we're all celebrating. Yeah. 1 Peter 4 verse 8 says this, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins." Above all, above everything, love each other. Each other, everybody. Love each other deeply. Love covers a multitude of sins, a multitude of mistakes, a multitude of shortcomings, a multitude of not good enoughs. Love covers, amen. Thank God. Who's glad that love covers? Come on, who's glad? Who's married in here and loves that scripture? Come on, somebody. Love covers a multitude of sins in Jesus' name. When I don't take the trash out, love covers. Love covers. Hey, where's the love? Love covers the sin. Anyway, let's not get into that. It's a sore topic at our household at the moment. Some trash can problems. All right, that's all right. Keep moving forward. Love covers a multitude of sin. I want to talk to you about the story of Noah. This is after the flood. The flood thing happened. In case you didn't know, there was a big flood. Really big flood. One of the most popular stories ever taught in a kid's church is the story of Noah, the ark, animals, all that fun stuff. So let's pick it up in Genesis 9, verse 18. This is after the flood. The sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Great names. Ham was the father of Canaan. Ham really is a good name, isn't it not? A ham? I mean, the only way you can get better than ham is bacon. That is the only meat. The only meat that's better than bacon is ham. Is ham than bacon. You know what I'm saying. Bacon's amazing. Sorry, I'm just getting distracted. I'm thinking about bacon. Oh, you're cooking it in the pan. It's like it's singing to you. You get a burger, you add the bacon. It's $3 more to add the bacon. Add the bacon. What's wrong with you? You've got a poverty mentality. Get the bacon. Get double bacon. Get triple bacon. I have high cholesterol. Get quadruple bacon. Just do some push-ups. I don't know. Bacon is everywhere in heaven. When you go to heaven, like in heaven, there'll be people like walking on the streets with little, there won't be coffee carts, there'll be bacon carts with freshly cooked bacon, however you want. You be ready for that, people. Bacon is going to be everywhere. And you will not gain a single gram of fat because you're in heaven. That's how it's going to work, people. That's what I tell myself anyway. I'm looking forward to that. Bacon for days, or maybe eternal years, actually, which is much better. Anyway, let's keep going. These three sons, they came, verse 19. These were the three sons of Noah. And from them came the people who were scattered over the whole earth. Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard. When he drank some of its wine, he became drunk and laid uncovered in his tent. You know, if you're struggling with an alcohol addiction, you don't plant a vineyard. That's just a life lesson for somebody today. In case you were thinking of planting a vineyard, don't. But to cut Noah a little bit of a break here, the guy just built the biggest ship in all humankind and saved mankind and dealt with all those animals. That would have been crazy. So let's cut him a little bit of a break here. He was under a fair bit of pressure. But anyway, verse 22, Ham, not bacon, Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father naked. And what did he do? He told his two brothers outside. You see, right here, Ham had a choice. Do I uncover my father to my brothers? Do I maybe incite some division? Do I cause drama? Or do I cover my father? He had a choice. Just so easy. Just two choices, A or B. Tell people or don't tell people. Cover my father or don't. He chooses to tell his brothers to cause trouble. So Shem and Japheth take a garment and they lay it across their shoulders. They walk in backwards and they cover their father's naked body. Their faces were turned the other way so that they would not see their father naked. If you want to know what true covering is, this is it. This is what it means to really, when I say love covers the multitude, this is what real coverage looks like. You come into church, you may be busted up, you may be broken, you may be bruised, you may be jacked up. I don't know where you're at right now. But let me tell you, in our church, we're the kind of church that walks in backwards into the room, covers you up, and says, it's okay. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. We cover you. Love covers a multitude. We're not here to call you out in your sin and make you feel worse about it or make you feel like you can't get through it. We're here to cover you. Love covers. God is love, and He has covered your sin. Amen. One church. We cover each other. When Noah awoke from his wine, that's funny, isn't it? It doesn't say like he woke from his like wine and cheese platter. He just awoke from his wine. This guy had a problem. He awoke from his wine and found out that his youngest son had done to him. He said, cursed be Canaan. The lowest of slaves will be to his brothers. You see, Ham cursed his covering, and his covering cursed his descendant. That's another message for another time. He also said, praise be to the Lord, the God of Shem. May Canaan be the slave of Shem. May God extend Japheth's territory, his other son. May Japheth live in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be the slaves of Japheth. After the flood, Noah lived for 350 years. Noah lived a total of 950 years, and then he died. The last part I just threw in there because I thought, that's a cool verse. Like, how many people lived to 950? Not very many. That's amazing. I would wonder, you know, he must have moisturized to get to that level. Like, that's really good. CrossFit, I don't know what he did, but anyway, he was doing it. So Shem and Japheth covered their father. Ham didn't cover his father. There's certain things that we do that cover people. There's certain things that we do that uncover people. And if we're going to be a unified church, if we're going to be one church, we have to make a decision that there are certain things that we can and cannot have in our culture. Gossip always causes division. Nothing good comes of gossip. It doesn't. We need to make a decision now to draw a line in the sand and say, we're not going to be that church because we're a unified church. God's called us to be one church, not a divided church. Amen? Amen. And the devil works hard to cause division. It's high on his priority list. You know, he's really into stealing, killing, destroying. That's like his main racket. He loves that. But he also loves causing division. In fact, the devil right now is working really, really hard to cause division in our great country. The devil would love right now to see the United States of America become more and more divided, more and more tension. He would love for there to be more racial tension. The devil would love for there to be more tension between Christians and non-Christians. The more tension there is, the more division there is. But I want to tell the devil today that we're not the divided states of America. We're the United States of America. And we're not going to be a country that becomes divided. And if we can be united inside the church, then we can be united outside of the church. But it starts here in the church. That's why it's so important for us to be one church under God, united, united together, strong together. Because if we can be united in here, in these four walls, then we can be united in our city. If we can be united in our city, then we can be united in our state. If we can be united in our state, then maybe our country can be united as well. Amen. But it all starts here. The church needs to be the salt and the light of the earth. We have to be the example. People should walk into here and feel refreshed. Oh, the culture, the people, so contrary to what they expected. Because we're one, we're family, amen? We always want to fight for that. We want to fight for that unity. One church, under God. And to be under God, and I don't even have time today to really dig into this too deep because it's such a big topic. To be under God. But a couple of things that I will touch on today. When you're under God, you're under His covering, you're under His protection, and you're under His blessing. Psalm 91 verse 1 says this, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Such a short and simple scripture, but honestly, if this is the only scripture you get today, and you tattoo this to your arm so that when you're worshiping, you're like, this is a psalm on my arm. This is pretty good. Psalm on my arm. That could be a rap song for a Christian rapper to develop. If you live your life truly by Psalm 91.1, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Because the only way to gain shelter is to be under. The only way to be in someone's shadow is to be close. So what if today you just changed everything and you decided to be under the shelter, under the covering of God? And you decided to be so close to be in His shadow. What would that change for you? How would that change your life? Because when you're under God, when you're actually under Him, and you're submitted to God, and you're covered by God, there's protection, and there's covering, and there's blessing. And I've found that the only way to be under God is to be submitted to God. And this is not like the most exciting preaching in the world. This is more teaching. I could probably just get this little wooden cool seat in here and sit down and just teach for a few minutes. I won't, because I'll just fall asleep because I'm tired. But this is so important that we get this. It's so important that we get this. Submission is actually a really big deal. Submission to God is a big deal. It is. It's actually probably the number one problem, I would say, in the world that people have with God is this. Submission. Submission to Him. Because they love the idea of God. I love the idea of a higher power. Just ask the universe. If I hear one more person say a sentence that has God in it, but replace God with universe, I might headbutt them. All right, I might. I probably won't, because I'm a Christian and I'm a pastor, but I might. And that percentage of chance is growing every day that someone replaces God with the universe. Just ask the universe for what you want, and it gives it to you. I mean, oh my. Anyway, I'm getting distracted here. But this is, I would say, this is the number one problem we have. People want Jesus to be their Savior, but they're not so worried about Him being their Lord. And there's such a difference between Jesus the Savior and Jesus the Lord. Both are important. Both are applicable. You'll always need both. Even when He's your Lord, He'll still need to save you from time to time. But I find the more He's my Lord, the less I need Him to be my Savior. So we say, Jesus, I want You to be my Savior and pull me out when I'm drowning. But I want to swim wherever I want to swim. It sounds really harsh. The good news for you today, the good news for me, is that God's grace is endless. And no matter how many times I fall in the ocean, no matter how many times I get into the wrong part of the sea, no matter how many times I drown, Jesus is always going to be that Savior. He is always going to paddle up to you in His boat. He's always going to pull you out of the water. Someone say amen. Let's thank God that we have a Savior and a Lord. Amen. He's not just a Lord. He's not just a Savior. He's a Savior and a Lord. You know, people dislike submission because people, we want to seek independence, but when we lose our independence, we lose our freedom when we disconnect from our covering. Yeah. And we go to a dangerous place when we disconnect from our protection and our covering, which is God, being under God. And this is, like I said, the biggest problem we have. This problem is not new. This problem has been around for a long time. Even back when Lucifer was in heaven, the reason why that went bad for him, and you can look up the story and read it later, for the sake of time, I won't go into it, but he felt in his heart, I will exalt myself above God, beside God. The problem with the devil when he was in heaven with God was that he no longer wanted to be under God. He wanted to be alongside or above God. Everything goes wrong when you reposition yourself away from under God to alongside God, or even above God. Scary place to be. It even goes back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God gives them all these trees, gives them all this food to eat, gives them every option in the world. And you know, to give Adam and Eve a little bit of a break, they were the first human beings on the planet. Okay, that's all right. Let's not judge them too much. Okay, they had a pretty hard gig. They were the first people. That had a lot of work to do. That had to tend the garden. That had to name all these animals. That would have been tough. Naming every single animal. Could you imagine doing that? I don't want to go there. I would be terrible at that job. I'd just call everything like dog or cat. Yeah, cat two, cat five, I don't know. But the truth was with Adam and Eve is that they were given every choice. But because they couldn't stay underneath God, and they go for that one thing that they shouldn't have, they neglect all the things that have been given to them, because they sneak out of submission. And then that one tree seemed so appealing, because that one tree was outside of the covering of God. The one thing that they couldn't have was the one thing that they so wanted, because it was outside of God. And I still don't understand it. It's an apple tree, people. It's apples. Like, hello, it's apples. It's not a big temptation. It's apples. It wasn't even an apple pie tree. If it was an apple pie tree, somehow built into some kind of 400-degree oven, that maybe I would understand the temptation. But it's just an apple tree. Like, seriously, why give up the future of humanity for an apple? Anyway, another story for another time. You see, the enemy promised Adam and Eve freedom with their sin, but they actually received the opposite. And I find it interesting that one of the first things they did once they ate the apple, once they removed themselves from the covering of God, was they felt the need to cover themselves. That's what sin will do to you, cause you to try and cover yourself. But we're already covered by His grace. We're already covered by Him. But when they step out in sin, they instantly feel the need to cover themselves. Are you with me? You see, when God says to do something, it's not out of legalism. It's out of love. Did you know that? God's like not in heaven trying to ruin your life. He's not in heaven trying to be a legalistic God. He's in heaven. He loves you. When He says to do something, it's because He has the best interests for you. And He knows He has a plan for you. And He doesn't want to see you make the wrong decisions. His plans are there to help you, not to harm you. Maybe today you're not where you need to be because yesterday you stepped out of the covering of God. The good news is you can step back in under God today, or any day for that matter. But one thing I want to talk about is when it comes to being under God, is that God protects what He covers. He protects what He covers. And covering is not about restriction. It's about protection. God protects what He covers. You know, when you're a kid, many of you would have had a bike when you were a kid, right? Come on, did anyone not have a bike when they were growing up as a kid? Maybe some of the young guys that are like iPad generation. Maybe you have like the bike app where you're like, I don't know, pretend to pedal with your fingers or something. I'm not sure how these things work these days. I'm still playing Snake from the old Nokia phone. I'm still on that. But anyway, the bikes are really cool. They're like this invention with made of metal. They got wheels and you pedal them and you go fast. As a kid, I used to ride a bike and I used to wear a helmet. Still would wear a helmet, just so you guys know. For the parents out there, hey, safety first. Wear a helmet, people. So you wear a helmet, and you know the helmet was not there to restrict you. The helmet was there to protect you, right? It was there to protect you. In Australia, this is very important. Not just for falling off, but for another reason. We have birds in Australia that will attack you. That will attack your head. It's true. Just when you think Australia can't get any more dangerous, let me tell you something. It can't. There are snakes that can kill you. There are spiders that can kill you. There are stuff in the sand that can kill you. There's stuff in the ocean that can kill you. There's stuff in the trees that can kill you. Now there's stuff in the sky that can kill you called magpies. They are the most vicious, demonic bird, I believe. I mean, I don't know why God made them. I'm going to ask Him when I get to heaven. But there's about 2 or 3 months of the year in Australia where if you're outside and you are anywhere near one of these magpie trees, you have got major problems. They're going to fly down, and this is what they fly. They basically bomb you from above, and they literally get their little demonic little hands, their little bird hands, claws, and they scratch at your head, and they get their little beaks. Here we go. They've got footage. Oh my gosh, I'm having like flashbacks. This is what they do. Oh my gosh, I can't even watch that. Someone, after 10 a.m., someone posted this. This is what happens. Look at that little bird. You're demonic. I'm in counseling because of you. All those years living in fear. But these little demonic birds. Anyway, let's move on from that because that's just It's just too much for me to bear. Those little birds, they literally, like kids would bleed. Like if you weren't wearing a helmet and they actually got your head, you would bleed. Okay, like I'm sure kids have died from these birds. The upside of it is that it can be quite funny. If you're, like, for me, it was never funny because I was used to the kid getting attacked. But for people watching me, it would have been really funny. Because the 1 minute you're this happy kid, you know, riding your bike, just having fun while getting exercise at the same time, every parent's dream. And next thing you know, you've gone from happy, casual riding to head down, pedaling as fast as you can, and just waving your hand like a maniac to try and get away from this crazy bird. It's terrifying. Google it after the service. Don't do it now. Just Google it after the service. YouTube it. Magpies attacking people. But and if you're listening to this podcast today in Australia, I'm sure you're under a great deal of stress just listening to my voice right now. You know what I'm saying? But the helmet was there. The helmet is there to protect you from these crazy birds. The helmet is there when I was riding a bike as a young kid to protect me when I fell off my bike. And I did fall off my bike from time to time. One time I rode across the street, I wasn't looking, and I got hit by a pickup truck. It's a true story. I was fine, it wasn't going that fast. Some of you are like, that explains it. I knew it. No, it was going like 25 miles an hour, it was fine. But the good thing was I had a helmet on. My helmet was dented in. The helmet actually had a dent in it that would have been my head if it wasn't for the covering, if it wasn't for the protection. My helmet was not there to restrict me. My helmet was there to protect me. My helmet was there to cover me. God is not around here to try and restrict you or ruin your cool look as you're riding your bike or to restrict your vision or restrict anything. He is here to protect you. He's here to cover you. Being under him provides coverage, provides protection. Amen? And America is built as a Christian nation under God. We're one nation under God. And, you know, sure, I'm afraid of magpie attacks. I'm afraid of, and I'm sure we all are, afraid of like potential terrorist threats that have been happening. We all have some degree of stress about the national debt. There are things that we all worry about. But let me tell you, the thing I worry about more than anything else is that our nation would stray away from being under God. Because if we stray away from being under God, we're no longer under his protection. And that for me is much more of a concern than anything else that we're facing right now. We need to strive and fight for and be a country that stays one nation unified under God. So if we can be under God here in the church, we can be under God in our city. We can be under God in our nation. But we need to stay under God. Under his covering. We need to fight for policies that align with the word of God. We need to fight for policies that keep us under his covering. Anyway, I've got to keep moving. Our church is what it is today because our church is one that's under the covering of God. And a big part of building the church, a big part of leading and being a part of such a great church is we're under God's authority. But we're also under man's leadership. So God has a very hard time in using people who come under God's authority, but not man's leadership. And Chris, you can come on up, my friend. God wants us to be okay with not just coming under his authority, but also being under man's leadership. You talk to anybody in the military, and they would tell you that when your rank above you tells you to do something, you do it, right? You just do it. I've never heard of anybody saying, no, I won't do that. You do what you're told to do in the military because you're under their covering. You're under their authority, right? Under their leadership as man. You're under their leadership, right? But it's funny how like sometimes in church, it's like, hey, can you do something? It's like, well, you know, I don't know if I feel God on this. Or hey, can you like, serving the high team. Can you greet people? Oh, just let me just pray about it. See if God has this direction for my life. See, we have to come under God's authority. We have to come underneath the leadership of man. I wouldn't claim to be the greatest leader in the world. I think I'm far from it. I don't think I'm the greatest communicator or preacher. I wouldn't say I'm even the best pastor. I'd say I'm very far from those things. But one thing I'm pretty good at is I'm pretty good at coming underneath the leadership of Pastor Jürgen and Leanne. I'm pretty good at coming underneath their covering. I'm pretty good at staying under the call of God in my life. I'm pretty good at staying under the authority of God. And I'm telling you, that's how we build a great church. We build a great church from people who are willing to lay down their life, but not just lay down their life, but they're willing to stay underneath the protection and the covering of God, but also submit and serve their leaders. Amen. It's crazy. You know, there's a guy in Australia. He was part of our youth group. And he's a really great guy, but he was having some trouble, you know, getting a job and keeping a job. And he's quite an unteachable guy. You tell him to do something and he just wouldn't do it. He's unteachable. But he got a job at McDonald's and he got fired from it. And I was like, dude, why'd you get fired from McDonald's, man? What happened? Tell me about it. And he said, well, I like to put some of my own twists on some of the burgers. I'm like, dude, it's McDonald's. A Big Mac is a Big Mac, no matter where you are in the world. They sell billions of them every year, and they're all exactly the same. But this guy, he would probably say he was under the authority of God, but he could not come underneath the leadership of man. Maybe God's plan for him was to become the manager of that McDonald's store. Maybe God's plan for him was to become the regional manager, the national manager. Maybe God's plan for him was to become the next CEO of McDonald's. We'll never know. Because he could never come underneath the leadership of man to put ketchup where he felt like putting whatever heck he put on the burger. Can we be a church that comes underneath the authority of God, but also comes underneath the leadership of Pastor Jürgen and Leanne, amen? I think that the person who's most at risk in life is the person who has no covering. The person who's out on their own. They're a lone ranger. They're out from God. They're out from leadership. They're out from people. They're out. They're a lone ranger. They're the most at risk person in the world. You know, and many of us, we have a boss, do we not? Most of us have a boss. Or we've had a boss, right? Or you'll have a boss in the future. You know, the challenge is when you've got a boss, you've got to make sure that you don't curse your covering. Because if you curse your boss, you're cursing your covering. You may as well be cursing yourself. Just like we saw Ham curse his father then cursed his son. When you curse your boss, you're cursing your own future. You're cursing your own destiny. Submission is the key to promotion. On the other side of your submission, I promise you, is promotion. Maybe someone's sitting here today and you're wondering why everybody else seems to be getting promoted. Why is everybody else getting a pay rise? Why is everybody else? Maybe it could be a submission issue. You know, one guy who I love sitting over here, George Valdez, one of the greatest guys in the world, has been working in a big company for a number of years, gets promoted like pretty much every year. He just gets promotion after promotion after promotion. And it doesn't surprise me at all, because George is not just a faithful, great, hardworking man, but he's one of the most submitted people I could think of. Sometimes I wonder if he is like one of Jesus' disciples sent down from heaven. Jesus, like, I don't know, John, you better go down there for a while. Like, are you John? He pulls his mask off. I am. I don't know. He seriously is. Like, he's like perfect, man. He's like perfect. If we had we don't have it, but if we had a confessional booth, he wouldn't even need to go into it. I'd be in there for hours. George would be outside like worship leading or something. I don't know. But the reason why George keeps getting promoted, 10, 12, 15 times he's been promoted, is because he's submitted underneath the covering of his boss, not cursing his boss, covering his boss, serving his vision. It's important. I'm just trying to help somebody get a promotion up in here. I'm just trying to help somebody get a pay rise up in here. Christmas is coming up. You got presents to buy your kids. Wouldn't it be a good thing to get a little? I'm just trying to help you out here. Amen. And listen, I know that there are bad bosses out there. I get it. Everyone's had a bad boss at some point, right? And I'm not talking about abusive bosses. Please hear me right here. Please exercise wisdom. But it's easy to submit when everything's going well. It's not always easy to submit when when everything's not going well, when you don't agree, you know, when everyone's going against what you're saying, when everything's going against you, what do you do then? John Bevere says a great thing. He says, obedience deals with our responsive actions towards authority. Submission deals with our attitude towards authority. God looks at the outward actions and at the hidden attitude of our hearts. It's a challenging thing to hear, isn't it? From John Bevere. The hidden attitude. That's what submission is. It's that hidden attitude of our hearts. What's going on internally when we have to submit to authority? You know, one thing it's important to know as we finish and close up this service is that God blesses what He covers. He protects what He covers and He blesses what He covers. That's why the tithe is so important. That's why the tithe is such a massive, important part of your life. Because when you tithe, you align yourself underneath the covering of God because you're submitted to God. You're submitted to what the Word of God says. You're submitted to Him. The tithe is so important. I hear story and story over and over and over. It's like every month, I promise you, every month I feel like I hear a story about somebody and their business has exploded. Or maybe they were unemployed and they finally got a great job and they're so excited about it. Or God's opened up another door in their life. Or God's blessed them in some other way. It's like I'm constantly hearing stories of people who are obedient to God. They come underneath His covering and God blesses their life. Because when you're underneath His covering, you're underneath His blessing. It's not so much a tithing problem. It's more of a positional problem. When you tithe, you correct your position to underneath the covering of God. It's such an important thing, amen? So let's close our eyes and bow our heads as we close up the service this afternoon. If you're sitting in here today and you're not walking with God, maybe you were once under His covering. Maybe you were once in His shelter, in His shadow, but now you've maybe slipped out of there. Maybe you're no longer walking with Him. Just in the last minute we've got, I just want to invite you not to leave today. I don't want you to leave today without making that right. So if you're not walking with Jesus right now, if you were under His covering once, or you were in His shadow once, but now you're no longer, I just want to, while every head's bowed and every eye's closed, I want to include you in my closing prayer. So if that's you, just while every head's bowed and every eye's closed, just wave your hand to me right now. Just let me know who you are so I can just include you in our closing prayer. If that's you this afternoon, just give me a wave, amen. Just going to wait another 10 seconds. Maybe you're sitting here today and you were once walking with God, but you've slipped away. Maybe you've never actually made that choice to walk with God. Maybe you've never made that choice to come underneath His covering, to come underneath His authority. Today is your day. Don't leave here the same. Amen. Amen. You can open your eyes, church. You know, I feel like there was somebody in here today that needed to put their hand up. So I don't want you to go home without getting prayer from someone from our team. So we're going to close up the service in just a minute. But if you know that was you, if you know you need to put your hand up, if you know you're not walking with God right now, or maybe you're not walking underneath His covering, we've got Rudy up here, Rudy the Mexican cutie, just waving his hand up there. We'd love for you to go and see him. And he's got a team of people just hanging out there, just wanting to pray with you and pray for you. So I want to invite you as we leave service in a moment. If that's you, if you need to come underneath the covering of God again, if you need to come underneath His authority again, today is your day, church. Get back underneath that covering. Get back underneath that protection from God. Amen. Who thinks we can be one church under God? Who's glad that they're in a nation that's one nation under God? Who wants to fight to stay one nation under God? I want to fight for that. We need to be fighting for that as Christians. We need to no longer be in the stands. We need to be on the field. Fighting for that we are one nation under God. The devil wants us to be a divided nation, not under God, disconnected from God. But let's continue to fight, church. Let's continue to be a nation that's under God. Amen. Let me just pray and then I'm going to hand it back over to Mike Yeager. God, I thank you for everybody in here today, God. Just declare over them that there would be a blessing on them this week as they go into their marketplace, as they go into their schools, as they go into whatever sphere of influence they are in, God. I just declare that every single one of them is an influencer When they walk into their marketplace, they walk in, God, as a pastor in their marketplace, as a leader in their workforce. They don't just walk in as somebody who's there to balance the books, or somebody there to stack some shelves, or somebody there just to type some data into a computer, or whatever it may be. I just declare over everybody that as they go into their places this week, God, that they would walk in as an influencer in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said,
thanks for listening. To find out more about our pastors, team, and what we do at C3 Church San Diego, go to c3sandiego.com.